We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Podcasting.
Downloading. SEO 101.
Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics.
SEO 101.
SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Hey, buddy, how's it going today?
Hey, Ross, how you doing, brother?
Good. Yeah, I got a bloody cold from my Petri dish kids, but...
All kids are Petri dish kids, not just yours, trust me.
Oh, I know, it's just our whole house is just miserable.
So what did your kid give you? Just a cold.
Let's. Yeah, just basic cold. It's just, you know, lots going on, but that's okay. I could deal with this better than the last cold and pneumonia last year. That was no fun.
It's the end of the year. It's that time for things. You know, you're supposed to get sick at the end of the year and screw up Christmas.
Hopefully not. Hopefully it won't last that long, but yeah.
Or the holidays, to be politically correct.
Yes. So if you excuse my voice and occasionally cracks and such, but well, how's work? Lots of interesting things going on?
Oh, it's great. I'm actually digging deep into becoming the company's sponsored content guru or the advertorial guru. So that's a fun. I always love new areas of interest, new things to think about, learn about. It's always great. I love it.
Especially when you can call yourself the guru.
I hate calling myself guru. I don't know why I said
that. Guru John.
It's because nobody's using sponsored content guru. It's all social media guru. I can sound different.
Well, you know, you're my guru, so there you go.
the world's first and only Ross Dunn guru.
God help you. Yes. So to start with, it's all over the news in the search world, but Matt Cutts, another private link network was foiled by the Cutts.
Hey, actually, before we get into this, I do the thing I meant to do this for. I want to say something about Dana Locadue. Make sure everybody knows. And that, you know, she was in an accident, and she's one of our good friends and a great listener to the show. She's one of the moderators on our Google Plus community, and I'm just best wishes out to her and hope for a speedy recovery. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been following her recovery. Very closely, and it's just, I don't know, it's so hard to see her in so much pain, but she's, luckily, she's always smiling somehow. And
somehow, I don't know how, but she gets it through. She's an amazing woman.
To have broken her back is just, that's insane. Such a devastating injury, but she seems to be recovering, so it's great. It's fantastic to hear. Slowly, but it's happening, which is pretty impressive considering the significant injury.
Absolutely. So anyway, start thinking
she's the one who would sometimes talk to everyone and say, Dana, in two or in three, burst, because she usually listens to us while she's on her bike.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, I had this like weird thing because she actually had her accident while she was riding her bike, and hopefully she wasn't listening to us and we did it.
God.
Because I have like serious guilt for the rest of my life.
Oh, dear. Yeah, especially if she was laughing.
Well, hopefully she's listening to this and she's getting better. And when we will start doing the 1, 2, 3 burst, Dana, when it's time to get up and go pee. So you can use that, you know.
We want to see the 1, 2, 3 burst on a walker.
Yeah, yes. That's it.
But you guys, you listeners out there, you're very, very valuable to us. And Dana just happens to be we've gotten to know very well too. And she's just fabulous. And we wish her very well. So
absolutely
glad you brought that up. Thank you. Now, I was mentioning before I was properly interrupted, the Cuts team has taken down another link network. And my favorite part about this is Matt's quote. I think he posted this on Twitter. He quotes them, the Link Network, by saying, "There are absolutely no footprints linking the websites together." And his response, "Oh, Anglo Rank." like you. In other words, They found the link, and poor buggers, they're down.
See, what gets me is these guys that are affiliate marketers or even good coders and good, thinkers, smart people, think they can create a network that has no footprints. And then they put it up against this company that has like over 1,000 PhDs that do nothing but look for these connections. Yeah, you're going to beat them.
And considering you have to buy domains, you have to have hosting companies or, accounts with everything, nothing's... They can connect to anything. I mean, and it's your history too. They got more history than I'd like to know about me, I'm sure. And that's just it,
All just think, if you own these networks, at some point you're going to click through to each one of these networks. And if you're using like Chrome or some kind of plugin that Google has attachments to, they might not use that data and information in their algorithms, but that doesn't mean they don't use it. When they're checking out what you're clicking through to.
Yeah, I got a hunch if we knew exactly what they used to find this stuff, we'd be a bit afraid. But I'm not thinking about it because I think it's good that they're cleaning things up.
It's kind of funny you mentioned that. This is a little bit of a diversion, not really SEO related, so bear with me for a second. They found out, an article came out in the news today, that the NSA and the FBI and all those guys that were all worried about tracking us, they're now monitoring WoW, World of Warcraft, and those MMO games for terrorist activity inside of these cyber worlds. I think it's hilarious.
What's scary is, if there is a network, it's something that probably would be used by terrorists. Why not? But it is pretty sad that we have to go to that extent. Now, that said, also in the news was, of course, that Microsoft and Google and a Yahoo troop of these big companies have banded together to pretty much tell the NSA they don't want to be providing this information. They don't want to be the conduit of all this private information that they're being forced to provide. Whether or not that'll do anything is another thing. But
I mean, they can want that, but they put themselves in the position by collecting it all. And they kind of have to collect it all based on their business models. So, it's kind of the price they have to pay to do what they do.
Yeah. But they don't want to be evil, but oh well.
But they're not being evil. They're being used.
No, they're already evil because they collect and use this stuff. And then, we have to give it away too.
So we're not the only ones that benefit from our evil.
Exactly. Yeah. So, sorry, I'm coughing a bit. But let's jump down to this one of the smaller ones before we get into a bigger one after the break. It says Matt cuts and duplicate meta descriptions. This is something you posted last time, I believe. Excuse me here.
Spank your kid for me for getting you sick.
Yeah. Oh, you're so cruel.
It's not my kid.
He said, in essence, it is better to have none at all than any duplicated description tags. Very small, very basic. And we didn't cross this out from our last show, so I'm assuming we didn't cover it. I apologize, anyone who heard, but we did cover it?
No, I don't think we did.
But you know what? It is a good reminder. We're like turning into audit masters, I swear. The amount of audits we're doing right now is making my head spin. It's really interesting work, but it's a lot of work too. But the one thing that I find so much is how many duplicated tags there are. Everyone is guilty of this to some degree, unless they have a small site or someone on staff that can just dedicate themselves to it. And you know, fair enough. I mean, we're all busy, but
I can tell you a story. Remember back when there actually was a supplemental index and you can actually search for things in the supplemental index? Mm-hmm. I remember a case where a site had 100% duplicate meta descriptions across all the pages, and almost everything they had was in the supplemental index. And the only change we made, and literally just because we wanted to test it, the only change we made was we created unique meta descriptions for each page of the site. Almost 70% of those pages came out of supplemental just on that one change, because they were being seen as duplicate, or, you know, I'm guessing description tag had a little bit more weight back then than it does today, but still, it made a big difference.
Well, didn't you just tell us the last week that it did, the last time we did this, that the description tag was never weighted?
No, keyword tags were never weighted.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
Description tags. I got confused. Right. It was keyword tags. Yeah. That's right. We're talking about. Yeah.
Description tags have always been working.
Yeah. And in any case, it's good for us to know that the description tag has some weight, and it's something that obviously, man, can I just die today? You know what? Before I finish that and cough, can you explain to people what the supplemental index is? Because we just sort of jumped into that.
Oh, yeah. So, the easiest way to describe it is using the duplicate content example. So, everybody knows about the duplicate content penalty. Well, there's no such thing as a duplicate content penalty. It's a filter, right? So, if you got 10 pages that all are exactly the same, have, you know, pretty much maybe it was a technical issue that caused it, or somebody got sick and accidentally created 9 of the same pages while they were coughing. But so you got 10 exact pages. Well, Google only wants to index one of those exact duplicates, right? So they index one. The other 9 get put, they know they exist, they know they're on the web, but they put them in what's called a supplemental index. It's an index where duplicate or bad or low quality pages go to die, basically. And there used to be a way we could actually, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but you could put a search feature, a search query that would show you just stuff that was indexed in the supplemental index. Today, you can kind of get a picture of it when you search for something and you go through the results and you get to like the third page and there's a little thing at the bottom that says, these results are, you know, we can show you, you know, 20, we can show you a bunch more results that are, you know, very similar to the results we've already shown you. That's kind of the supplemental index now. You might see 10 pages listed, and if you click that, you might see 50 pages listed. Those extra 40 pages that showed up when you click that are basically in the supplemental index today. Is that good?
I think so. But I thought that essentially, didn't they just pretty much officially remove the index, or at least just meld it into everything? There's no official supplemental index anymore, is there?
Yeah, I don't. It's all one index controlled algorithmically now. And honestly, I don't know if it used to be two separate indexes or not. It might have been, but either way, it acts the same.
Yeah. Mine plays tricks on me a lot, but I think I remember reading that it was secondary. It was a secondary area that content was being shuffled into. But who knows? Over time, we convince ourselves of that. I don't know. In any case,
you don't want your pages in there either way.
Yes, exactly. So let's take a quick break. And we get back, we're going to talk about some different quality guidelines that was discovered a couple weeks ago.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Guys, are you suffering from FD, fulfillment dysfunction? Let MoldingBox.com's online portal system for inventory, tracking, and returns perform for you. We have the enormous tools you need for complete warehousing, shipping, and handling of all your packages, no matter the size or shape, directly to your customers. MoldingBox.com can also fulfill all your nourishing, nutraceutical, and smooth skincare product desires, including green coffee and Garcinia, on demand. Plus, let our in-house printing and CD-DVD manufacturing help you enlarge and maximize your coaching and business opportunity potential. We do everything. Fulfillment, shipping, tracking, inside and out, and all in one place. MoldingBox.com. It's shipping made sexy.
Why do over 15,000 small businesses love working with Infusionsoft?
Because we believe in people and their dreams.
We empower entrepreneurs, and our groundbreaking tools help small businesses grow and thrive.
We listen. We care.
We serve our customers, and we do what we say we'll do. We're always trying to find new ways to innovate and to improve our all-in-one sales and marketing platform. Most of all, from email to e-commerce,
we help small businesses like yours succeed.
Go to infusionsoft.com/radio to watch a free product demo. That's infusionsoft.com/radio.
WebmasterRadio.fm presents CEO Coach, a show custom built to give you everything you need to build your business on the web. Jillian Musick, your CEO Coach, will break down the art of business development from the ground up. CEO Coach, on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, one of the news items that I was kind of fascinated by, sorry, you wanted to say something, John?
No, I was just going to say, before we jump into your difficulty, I got one more little thing from Matt Cutts we can cover. Just take a minute.
Okay.
He put out a video about stitching of content. And it's really interesting to me because a lot of people do this. And a lot of people think it's a really good way to produce content for your sites that's efficient and economical from a time and resources standpoint. Stitching of content is where you basically, you go, you find an article on, say, Mashable about something pretty cool. And you quote part of it, make a comment, and then link to quote your resources as your blog post. And basically what Matt's saying is these kind of posts are not going to drive traffic. They're not going to get you ranking. He even quoted that Yahoo hates them even more and considers them spam. So there's definitely some pushback on this type of content creation. It makes a lot of sense with Hummingbird and Panda. That they're going to want good quality long-form content on the sites. So they're actually starting to push back on this a little bit. I just want to make sure everybody was aware of that.
Well, and I would guess, I mean, this doesn't seem unreasonable, that technique isn't bad if you've actually got an opinion and you're writing something of significance. But if you're just using it to link to some content,
yeah, if you just write a paragraph of your own content and then quote two paragraphs of the other content and link to it, it's not a good thing. But if you've got, you know, 500 words and in that 500 words is one paragraph, you know, talking about, you know, a quote from this other article, that's fine. That's not stitching as much as, or a bulk of it is really from the other article and you're just making a short comment linking over.
Yeah,
a lot of people do that. I'm not saying it's going to get you in trouble or it's going to really be considered spam by Google. Just don't expect it to rank. Don't expect it to drive organic search traffic. If it's something for your audience that you really think they need to know, do it absolutely right for your audience, but have the proper expectations from an organic search standpoint.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that there is probably even there may be incidences where it's, you know, you just want to do a paragraph and put a copy of some quotes in there. I mean, Yahoo considers it spam. Freaking cares.
but you know what? It really does actually kind of point out the difference to me for writing really good quality content versus a Facebook post. Something like that to me has a much better, it's a much better type of content for a Facebook post than it is for your website. You know what I mean? If you're trying to decide what do I want to post where, those kind of things seem more social to me, that you're just sharing some article with a quick opinion versus a long form article where you're really digging deep into a subject, which is something that you should do. And that's going to be, you know, your website is where you want to put that. You don't want to put that on social directly, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. And then there's the argument too that by doing a better long form article, you're going to have something more appropriately attached to your authorship too.
True.
You don't want this thin stuff on there. So that's, you know, fair enough. And I'd probably use Google Plus for something thin like that, but it still has value. Again, I wouldn't do it if it didn't have any value. But if it turns out to be a thin once in a blue moon, whatever, as long as it's got value. But just keep focused on trying to make beefier, legitimate posts.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, good point there. So the one thing I wanted to bring up was something that I was prepping for last week's show. I'm sorry, everyone, we didn't make it. It's been a crazy few weeks for both of us.
It's the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Everything seems to fall on now. It's you know, no complaints.
That's no excuse, guys. That's no excuse.
You just get to blame everything on the holidays.
Oh, yes, that's it. So did you read about these different quality guidelines that Google had sourced out?
Very briefly, so I'm interested in hearing your opinion on them.
Okay, well, they essentially had found been provided a new version of the Search Quality Raters Guide. Now, this is the guideline that Google gives to its reviewers, the people who manually review content. Now, this is not, again, this is very important to say, this is not necessarily what is used in Google's algorithm, but we'll get to that. This is, however, stuff that's important to Google, so it's a very good insight. And what they've called it is, it's your money or your life websites. That's the kind of website that this is highlighting. Your money or your life. Now, what the hell does that mean? Well, fair enough. Essentially, results may be important for both your money and your life. So, in other words, the content that you read are maybe important for both your money and your life. So it could be something that's asking you for money. It could be something that is giving financial advice. It could be something that, anything that could really change your life, positively or negatively, they want to make sure they add another level of care when they're reviewing. I think that's really cool. I mean, that's the sort of stuff you'd expect from a search engine you're trusting.
That's the don't be evil motto actually working.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, maybe they just posted that for that reason. I don't know. But some of the ones I wanted to go through here were just to rattle off some of the things. It goes on to share five examples. Now, I should say I got this from Matt McGee's post on Search Engine Land. The title is In Quality Raters Handbook, Google Adds Higher Standards for Your Money or Your Life Websites. the document goes on to share five examples. One is the pages that solicit personal information, such as personal identification numbers, bank account numbers, driver's license numbers, etc., should be used, or which could be used for identity theft. These are all the different, this is one example of sites that are considered your money or your life. Another one is for monetary transactions, any site pages like that, for medical or health information, offering advice on major life decisions, such as parenting, purchasing or home a vehicle, etc., and other major life issues. Now, what are they looking for? Main content quality, in particular, who creates the content and the expertise of the author. Google calls out medical pages as an example, saying this content should be written by people or organizations with professional expertise and be edited, reviewed, and updated on a regular basis. The next part is contact information. Google says websites that require a high level of user trust require very helpful contact information. Second and last one here is reputation. And to quote, the reputation of a website should be judged by what expert opinions have to say. For example, high-quality medical websites are endorsed by prominent physician groups. So they're just looking for certifications and reasons to believe that this content is highly credible. And lastly, that the site is maintained or updated. In other words, medical, legal, financial, and other your money or your life websites require up-to-date information. Pretty logical stuff. Now, what I want to do is tie this together into, you know, what John and I might think. How, for example, one of the things that Matt ties up the article with is, you know, what I began with, which is that this is not what Google necessarily uses as an algorithm, but you could see it happening in the future. So let's just take a guess. I mean, let's assume some of these are being used or they want to use them. What signals would they look for? I think this stuff's, that would be of interest to you, to our listeners. I hope so anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take the first one, John?
So the first one was basically quality design. Quality design, that, there's a lot of things you can look at there. You can look at 501, 503, or is it 508 compatibility for handicapped, W3C issues, page speed, mobile versus desktop. All those kind of things would be things they could look at algorithmically. They're not going to be able to look at a design and say, oh, that's pretty. But they'll be able to look at, you know, up-to-date technologies. Are they using HTML5? Is it newer quality coding behind it? And look at coding directly. I think coding is something we used to look at a lot back in the early days of SEO. I mean, I can remember the days we used to determine if they had too many commented lines of code that would cause like the code to content. Remember the code to content ratio, Ross? Yeah. Wow, that was like forever ago. But how much code to content was in the source code? They're looking at how things are written, how they're created. I think it's easy to do from an algorithmic standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the easiest one for them to detect. The other one was contact information availability. So let's say they're looking to find out whether or not the contact information is available within the site, then it's fairly significantly available. So they may look for how many links to the contact info versus number of pages on the site. They look for some sort of a formula or a ratio. Again, not simplifying it, but we're trying to simplify it to some degree here. Modes of communication provided. Is it just a phone number? Is it just a form? Does that phone number connect? You know, they could use the NAP information, name, address, phone number, to determine whether this is truly connected to that business or whether or not there's any formality to it on the web.
And consistency on the web, too. That just like with local search, how consistent is their NAP, you know, across the realm of the internet? You know, the more consistent, the stronger the signal.
It's funny. When I describe that to clients, I always say it's a good example, although it's not a bad thing to do. I mean, obviously, it's a good part of an algorithm. But they put a lot of weight on it, from what I understand. And it sort of harkens back to the days of really easy SEO, where they were really going after basic stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it just shows how basic that algorithm still is.
Oh, yeah. But some of the fundamentals, even as basic as they may be, they're fundamentals for a reason. And, you know, the NAP is fundamental information about a business. And as simple as that is, it's never going to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got three more to do here, but let's take a quick break. And we get back, we'll go through those and tie up a show.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Why do over 15,000 small businesses love working with Infusionsoft?
Because we believe in people and their dreams.
We empower entrepreneurs, and our groundbreaking tools help small businesses grow and thrive.
We listen. We care.
We serve our customers, and we do what we say we'll do. We're always trying to find new ways to innovate and to improve our all-in-one sales and marketing platform. Most of all, from email to e-commerce,
we help small businesses like yours succeed.
Go to infusionsoft.com/radio to watch a free product demo. That's infusionsoft.com/radio.
I'm John Ball, and I'm one of the founders of Page One Power. Page One Power is a custom link building firm based in Boise, Idaho. We increase search rankings and web traffic for world-class brands and mom-and-pop shops all around the globe. Our link building strategies work because we focus on relevancy and quality, and we don't outsource anything. Our in-house staff of professional writers and researchers is the best in the industry. We're the link builders you've been looking for. Visit us today at pageonepower.com.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple.
All you need is authoritylabs.com.
Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking,
you should be using Authority Labs.
Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords,
what you need is authoritylabs.com.
It's time to turn your site into a money-making machine. Webmasterradio.fm presents The Shoe Money Show. Your host, Jeremy Shoemaker, covers all the angles from contextual advertising, affiliates, donations, subscription, direct sales, pay-per-click, and more.
Show me the money.
On demand anytime inside the advertising channel.
On webmasterradio.fm.
Trying to crank in the cash.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
And welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So we're on number two of our discussion of the different quality guidelines for Your Money or Your Life, which are a type of website that can have an effect on your money or your life. And Google's decided they need a little more attention when they're being reviewed manually by their manual review team. So number three is acceptable requests for information. If a legal or medical information website asks for a credit card information, their content should be treated with greater skepticism. Seems fair enough, right?
Maybe. So what if you're, I don't know, see, if you're selling services online, you know, you can sell legal and medical services online somewhat. I don't know. I'm just trying to think algorithmically. How would you do that algorithmically from an SEO standpoint? Because that's the point. We're trying to take what these things are going to do from a manual basis, and how would they implement it algorithmically? I don't know how they could do this.
The way I think of it is, if it's kind of like a trigger, if they see a information website that seems to have a larger than normal amount of advice or just plain information, encyclopedic information on medical or legal information, and then all of a sudden there seems to be a push for credit card information, that perhaps it triggers additional algorithmic review.
What if WebMD decided to add a paid section to their site where there's doctors monitoring live chat 24/7, some kind of model like that, versus say there's a plastic surgeon that decides that he's sick and tired of everybody coming to look at pictures of boobs on his website and puts that behind a paywall.
Paywall?
Yeah.
Wonder what kind of site he's planning on running.
Well, because that's where like most of their traffic comes from.
I'm sure. First of all, it's greater skepticism. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the content. It just means that they're going to test it more, I think.
Here's the question for you then. How can an algorithm have greater skepticism? It's either the algorithm or it's not, right? Or you can say you want to apply another algorithm to it if you find this certain set of circumstances.
Well, and that's what I said. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay, so you have an additional algorithm that would have to dig in even deeper.
Yeah, it would trigger additional review.
So to go on to ask your question again, what would that second algorithm look for?
Well, it could look for all the other issues that may be to do with that. Perhaps would look at reviews online, look at sites that are common for complaints that actually have some value, unlike the one place we know.
So you know I'm leading you into a trap, right? You knew that when you started answering the question.
Of course. But it's also, I think there's validity to it. I think there is a way to do it.
But my question
they're smarter than us. You know that.
My question is, if you're going to do this second algorithm for ones that you can look at review sites and you can look at, you know, take a deeper look, why not do that for all of them? Why does it have to be just certain ones?
Oh, come on.
Wouldn't that improve
a certain amount? They have to scale to a degree their systems. I mean, it's cycles. This stuff's precious to them. There's so many websites out there. I mean,
I can kind of buy the scale thing, but at the same time, we're talking about Google, who can scale their hardware faster than you and I can scale our you know, socks as we're pulling them up, you know.
But they also don't want to throw away money for IPOs. You know, they're public. If there's a way for them to do this and still provide high quality, I mean, they can always find out when they're wrong, and they just improve their algorithms, and then everything we just said changed. So,
which will happen tomorrow anyway. So,
yeah, that's not happening right now.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, no, I'm just a little skeptic, to use your word, that they would have an extra algorithm they would apply when they find this touchy situation. They've already written the algorithm. I would think they would just put it into the primary algorithm and do it for everybody, unless it's, I can't see how it is so resource intensive that I'm just going based on your request was, how do we do this algorithmically? How do we look at acceptable requests for information algorithmically? And it's, to me, that's the hardest one we have on this list. I don't know how you would do that.
I agree. But I do see it possibly being possible. It just, again, it could just be hints of what that there is some issue. And again, algorithmically, it's difficult, but it's something that, hell, for all we know, they have implemented all of this already, and they're checking everything else, and they don't even have to look for that credit card info.
You know,
but I do believe things trigger different.
You know what they could do?
Analyses, though.
They will look for whether the requests are on HTTPS, if they're on SSL pages or not. That's something they can do algorithmically, easy. But they've also, from what I'm understanding, they're getting better and better at actually filling out forms with information and seeing what comes after the submit button.
Mm.
And if they get better and better at that, that would be an algorithm methodology to really look at what happens when you fill out this form, where is that request sent to. You know, they can look at that algorithm and what's returned after it's been sent.
I mean, don't you think that their algorithm, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would run the most intensive algorithm on every single site when they could scale it to some degree?
Oh, I'm sure they do. They do scale it.
So that sort of answers my our discussion in a way. They do have a way of triggering additional algorithms or additional levels of depth.
Levels of depth, I think, is a better way to put it, because when they come to a page, because think about it. They look, what they find on the page determines what they're going to analyze, right? So mm-hmm. If they come to a page that's not paginated, they're not going to look for next rel equals prev, right?
Exactly.
So if they come to a page that has a form requesting information, that'll trigger what they look at. So, but I don't think it's only on some sites when they're looking for these forms. Any e-commerce site that has a form that requests a credit card, whether it's a lawyer site or a medical site, should get the same treatment.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is just happens to be your money or your life focused. That's all. And also, we the way we're talking here, I should qualify to our listeners. Google doesn't go out and just take these parts and then analyze them. They take everything and analyze it. When they index a site, they're getting all this information. There's no, I wouldn't think there's any kind of thought to how it's being brought in, and then their algorithms go at it. So it's not like they're jumping back and forth. I mean, they may do it a little bit, but I don't see it being happening a lot.
Yeah, and the real, if you really want to get to the nuts and bolts, the interesting thing is Google doesn't analyze the page on your web server. They copy it, put it on their own servers before they analyze it. So they're analyzing it on their site, the copy that they took. So when you're crawled, they crawl it, they copy it, they put it on their servers, they analyze it there. They don't analyze it on your server.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yes, that's, but I said it clearly.
Oh, okay. Well, you take the next one, sir. I promise not to be critical.
I think I'm being set up. The next one is reputation of writers.
Oh,
obviously, you know, how would you do that algorithmically? Authorship is the key to that at this point. You know, the question is, I guess, how would you do it if authorship's not enabled, if the writer doesn't have authorship? And I think that goes back to Eric Schmidt's comment that, well, what do you put it? Anonymous, remaining anonymous. How did he say that? Anonymity may lead to irrelevancy or something like that in his quote. But basically, if you're not using authorship, you're going to be irrelevant, so it doesn't matter anyway. To me, that's a critical part.
You wouldn't even need authorship. They would just know you.
Yeah. I think that's where Google Plus comes in. Again, AuthorRank has not been implemented, but that's kind of what we're talking about here, is the reputation of the writers is authorship as it is applied to AuthorRank, right?
Yeah, and to listeners, AuthorRank is the application of authorship, what people have on their websites to show that they've written something in the algorithm to make a difference in rankings. So that, at this point, they haven't implemented that publicly. Yeah. It could be being tested for all we know right now, but it's just not being publicly noticed. No one's actually found 100% proof it's being used.
So the interesting thing is, if you look at the evolution of this and the engines, first you had link building and social signals applying authority to web pages and websites. Then you have the local search algorithms applying citations and you know, basically what would be considered links to businesses to give them authority. So you went from web pages getting authority to actual businesses getting authority. Now you're going to individuals getting authority based on their activities online and what they write about. It's really an interesting progression. What's next, Ross? What's after people? What's going to get authority?
You mean number five? What are you talking about?
No, I'm just thinking.
You mean, am I supposed to be listening to you?
You're supposed to be listening to me. But think about it. So they went from websites. Google tried to figure out how to give authority to websites. Then they figured out how to give authority to businesses. Now they're figuring out how to give authority to people. What's next in that progression? Are they ever going to figure out how do we give authority to topics or, you know, niches? I don't know. I bet there's something after people. Just a thought. Pets?
Cats?
Yeah. Weather.
They already do all pets?
That. It's called knowledge graph.
Yeah. Okay, well, the last one here, we're getting a little long in the teeth on the show, so is probably the easiest one around, and that's how to determine if a site's being maintained or updated on a regular basis. Now, from a technical standpoint, the way we look at it is conditional get, which not all sites have, but that essentially tells Google when they do a server check on a page, they actually call for the page, a certain amount of information is being sent to them. It's called the server header. And there it can have the get, the conditional get, which will show the last time the page has been updated. This is a preference or a setting within servers. It isn't always enabled, but it's actually a really good thing to enable on your website because it saves Google from indexing that page again if it hasn't been updated and can further improve how far Google will go into your site and index it. So
another great reason to have that enabled is because there's a lot of people that end up having issues with Googlebot sucking up bandwidth on their servers. Mm-hmm. And if you turn that on, the first thing they'll do is check the update of the page. If it hasn't updated since the last time they did it, they'll just pass on by. And it really has, in some cases, can really cut down on the bandwidth Googlebot uses.
Yeah, and that'd be particularly important in the enterprise market, which you're in, definitely. Yeah. So that's the main thing. Then, of course, less trustworthy things are like the page date. Another thing is links to updated source articles. So the actual links, if the links are from recent news, that says a lot about the quality of the article as well. And evidence of page versions. You know, if there's many versions of a particular page, I don't know. There's some systems out there that show different versions of this is how things have changed over time on this page. That would also show some.
How much do you think new links or new social citations to a page would account for that as well? Would that figure in? So if you had a page,
makes a lot of sense. It would, yeah.
Yeah, but then you might get a page that's old that all of a sudden picked up some steam in social and started being talked about. That would be a tricky one. But
yeah,
I think that's
it wouldn't stand alone. Yeah. No, I mean, God, how many times have we seen memes go live again? And you know, from the same site
Exactly.
You know, okay. Especially you know, citing our most important content being memes.
Which there was an article today. I wish I had a link to someone who was talking about how you have real content now means you have to create real content. You just can't duplicate memes across the internet. It was very interesting that that's just not enough. Oh, it was about Facebook, actually. Facebook's you don't want to call it Edge Rank anymore. They haven't been using that for a long time, but apparently whatever their algorithm is now is being adjusted to not display memes as much and display more content, which is weird because a lot of people like those. I don't know. That's odd.
Shoot in the foot.
Yeah, exactly.
The values of Facebook.
Speaking of shooting yourselves in the foot, one other thing I want to make sure we cover before we leave today is Google fixed the tool PageRank toolbar display.
What the hell?
Why? I know, and it's funny too on our Google Plus community. This is why I'm bringing it up because literally like the day after somebody posted on our Google Plus community, "Hey, I need high PR links. Can anybody help?" I'm like, so I wrote back and I basically said, I was being real nice. I said, you probably shouldn't worry about that. Spend your time and resources on something else. PR is dead. It's not going to do anything for you. You need high quality content. Well, he wrote back and said basically, hey, PR means there's high quality content. If you have high quality content, you're going to get a high PR, blah, blah, blah. And then I basically wrote back and said, look, your first question proves your comment wrong. Done.
Yes. Yes, to a degree, we are open-minded on our forum, on our community.
Yeah, but I will call you out if you need call now.
Yeah, no one's seen that today. No, I will. on that note, thank you for joining us today on SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Our show airs every Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And we hope you join us next week and send in your questions. Our community forum on Google Plus is a busy one. Lots of great people answering questions, and we try and do that as well. So please come on in.
Hey, one other thing. If you're on a Google Plus page, we got a post out there. We're taking your predictions for SEO for 2014. We're going to collect a bunch of them and have a show talking about your predictions and whether Ross and I think they're valid or not. So get your predictions in soon. We're going to do that show pretty soon since it's coming up at the end of the year.
Thanks, guys. Yes, prediction show next week, I guess, or soon after.
We'll do it after Christmas.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Every day, thousands of hackers try to steal your crypto. But Arculus uses air-gapped technology by forming a protective barrier that insulates you from hackers and secures your crypto. Order yours at getarculus.com.